Good morning.
Good morning.
So glad you came to worship with us today. Trust the Lord's going to bless you as we worship together. In absence of our pastor today, we have Reverend Michael Barrett. Michael Barrett has been here with us many times before. If you've not met him, he's a longtime pastor of First Baptist Church in Pleasant Garden, North Carolina. And when he got ready to retire, he decided he'd take an easier job, and now he's a mission strategist for the Piedmont Baptist Association. It wasn't a retirement, was it? We're so glad to have him here with us today. You'll be blessed by hearing him preach today, and he'll be speaking right after we sing our last hymn today. I want to thank those who were at Camp Carefree this week, working, serving, cooking, fellowshipping with those children. We had a great time. Things went really well. Good, hardworking group in our church. And then also, I want to give thanks to those who participated in our 4th of July celebration yesterday, the band that played, and also those who worked in the kitchen providing hot dogs and apple pie. We had a great time yesterday, and I want to thank each one of you for being a part of that. Before we begin today, let me ask the Lord to bless our service. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege we have of being called Americans, to live in America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. God, we love you. We know you love us. The evidence of that is over and over again. We see how you have blessed this land. The Lord, even though that day of celebration is over, we pray that you will help us to be mindful every day of the blessings you pour out in our life. Now, Lord, as we worship you today, we pray that you would help us to put everything aside that would hinder our worship. Help us to focus our attention on you. Lord, fill this place with yourself. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Please stand with me as we sing 334, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Thank you.
Now, please join us as we sing America the Beautiful, hymn number 630. Bibles, if you would, Romans chapter 12, as we open God's Word today. I'm so proud to be an American, amen? Amen? And I'm so humble to be a child of God. Thankful for God's great mercy and God's great grace. I've already been to church one time this morning, heard a message on freedom out of Romans chapter 8. Anyone who is in Christ, he is without condemnation. Praise the Lord. And we are free, not only free as a nation, a country, but free as, again, children of God. And I hope, again, as you know the history of, again, this great nation, 250 years old, that, again, it began with a deep and persistent belief that we needed God. And it's been woven into the fabric of our country ever since the beginning of time that, again, we would be a humble people before Almighty God. Abraham Lincoln, again, announced the National Day of Fasting and Prayer. George Patton prayed before the Battle of the Bulge, and President Roosevelt prayed on radio on D-Day, needing God. And I hope we'll never get beyond that moment of desperately realizing we're blessed by God every single day. And our only hope, again, according to the Scripture, is righteousness exalteth the nation. But sin is a reproach against God. And if we want God's favor and God's blessing, it will only be as we again seek after righteousness
every day as God's people and pray for that for this great country in which we're humbled and blessed to live in. I am the director of missions, the strategist. And again, just to bring you up to date, a couple of things since I was here before. Again, we recently rebuilt a home over in Western North Carolina, just outside of Boone. And again, a family of five children got to move in. They were displaced for a year. And again, after that, we got them back in. You helped pay for all the materials. We sent teams again from our churches again to rebuild that house. And praise the Lord, again, it is was finished again just about January, and they got to move in, and praise the Lord again for that great news. We just recently, just last week, wrote a check for $45,000 to purchase an ultrasound machine for, again, over in High Point for the pregnancy center there. And again, we're wonderful, thrilled to be able to come together and support and encourage life. Amen. We prayed for years for the abortion clinic in Greensboro to be closed down, and hallelujah, it is closed today. And we're praying again that these ultrasound machines that are being placed across, again, these pregnancy centers will help. They say 80% of a mother who looks at the ultrasound and sees that baby will choose life. And so we want to make sure we're doing all we can, again, for mothers to choose life, but also all across this world for people to choose life, putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's so front and center, so key to all that we do. Well, let's jump into God's Word today. News too good to ignore. News too good to ignore. Let's begin again, just the thought. We live in a post-Christian culture. And as believers, we need a perspective as followers of Jesus Christ. We need a filter through which forms all of our decisions and choices. And God's Word gives us that filter in chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So again, to be that sacrifice, living sacrifice, that is a reasonable service according to God's Word. And this is the filter. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're not like this world. We're not like anyone else. We're not to be overcome with fear in this world. Because God's Word says in John chapter 16, verse 33, that in this world you're going to have trouble, and we all say amen to that, right? But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So there are three things I want to write on your heart this morning. Number one is, we live by faith, not by fear. Now fear, again, is a part of the journey of life. You fear going broke. You fear about that mole on your back. What's it going to be? You fear the sound of the clock as it ticks toward the end of life. And fear feels dreadful. And it seeks the very life out of your soul. But what did Jesus say more than any other statement he made in Scripture? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. So when it knocks on your door, don't invite it for dinner. And don't invite it to stay overnight, neither. Go to the Word of God and let the Word of God overcome fear, because the Word of God says that perfect love casteth out fear. Interesting, again, as you open God's Word, he says, do not fear many, many times. One of the most precious places is in John chapter 14, when he gets ready to tell the disciples he's going away. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And then he says, in my Father's house are many what? Are many mansions. If it were not so, I've told you, again, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, what is he going to do? He's going to come back and receive us into himself, that where he is, we can be also. Later in that chapter, he says these words in verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, that's a powerful verse of scripture right there. When again, he reminds us that he gives us his peace. It's from his kingdom. And the New Living Translation in verse 27 says, I'm leaving you with a gift. I'm leaving you with a gift. So the question is, have you opened that gift of peace that goes beyond understanding? That keeps you again as your heart is stayed on the Lord in perfect peace according to the word of Scripture and the word of God. As you look at life again, it's interesting how Jesus reminds us again that fear is a part of the journey. You remember the time that he called the disciples to get in the boat. He's in the boat with them. They're to go across the shore, and all of a sudden, immediately, a storm comes up. There's an interesting word in that passage of Scripture that, again, is only found two other times in Scripture. It's the word seismos. It's the word a great quake, a great storm arises in that moment. The only other time that word is used in Scripture is when Jesus dies on the cross and then when he's resurrected again from the grave. But in this moment, it is used with the disciples on the sea. And again, immediately a seismos quake storm comes up and they're fearful for life. I mean, the only words that can be uttered by them in that moment is, again, Lord, save, we're dying. And then they ask the question, do you not care? You know, that's interesting how we do that when a storm comes up in our life. Lord, do you care about us? Lord, save us. Lord, reach out to us. Lord, help us. Because fear, again, corrodes our confidence in God's goodness. And so we're not to live by fear. We're to live by faith according to the Word of God. And the good news is he gives us that gift of peace that the world can't give and the world can't take away. So whatever happens in your life, you're never able to say, God didn't see this coming. You can never say, God's surprised by what's going on in my life. Because God is, again, aware of everything, and he uses everything that happens in your life. If you allow it for good to develop, to grow, to nurture your faith so that you're not living by fear, but living by faith. And the wonderful news is God's always faithful. God has a plan. He is in control, and he's the only one who can bring good out of the mess of life, but he masters in that. He does that all the time. He brings good out of, again, the mess of life. He's working in all things for good. He never leaves you. The battle is the Lord's. Paul says, if God's for us, who can be against us? Wow. So we're not to panic. And we just remind ourselves, as the world falls apart, we're not like the world. And we don't think like the world. Our hope, our trust, our faith is in the Lord. Paul says you don't get to choose your circumstances in life. You do know that, right? We don't choose the circumstances. We don't know what we're going to go through, when life's going to turn upside down. We don't have a choice of that. But we do have a choice in that moment to trust God and know God is always faithful. Now, there's no feeling quite like fear. If you've ever been gripped by it, you'll agree with me. Hello? Yeah, you will. There's no feeling quite like fear. In fact, back in the day, Ann Landers, when she was receiving email and corresponding, again, she got sometimes 10,000 letters a month, and most of them was about the anxiousness and the fear of people walking through life. I mean, the Bible doesn't paint a picture of a fear-free life. It's a part of the journey. Just go back and look at Israel as they face Goliath. I mean, he came out, cursed God, cursed them, said, anybody come fight? And for days, no one would go out there because of fear that had overcome them. Just ask the spies who were invited to go into the promised land and bring back a report of, again, what do you see? And as they come back, they said, wow, it is amazing, but there are giants in the land. And it's impossible for us to go in and take that land. Fear overcame their decisions. But this is what the Scripture says, 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Romans 8:15 says, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. The wonderful news is you do nothing alone. God is with you. God is for you. God is in you. And again, we do nothing alone. Now, fear disregards God's plan, and it disbelieves God's promises. And therefore, it's good to look in the rearview mirror to see where you've come from. I've told you before as I preach, again, the greatest definition of faith that I've ever come across is fear is believing in advance what only makes sense looking back in reverse. Faith is believing in advance. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know where you're going. I mean, just follow the scripture. From the very beginning, Abraham, from the very beginning, Moses, from the very beginning, Jacob, David, every one of them didn't know what was going to happen in the journey. As God called them and spoke to them and gave them direction, they had to believe and they had to trust. And as we get to read the stories today and look back, again, as they look back, they saw what? God's faithfulness. They saw God's goodness. They saw God's hand upon them. And so, again, looking back, they saw they could trust God and believe God, and you can do the same. If you'll look at your life, and again, if you'll walk by faith, eventually you'll look back and see God was there all the time. God had you all the time. God was in control all the time. And again, God's grace was sufficient all the time for you. Now, that doesn't mean life's going to be happy and rosy and everything's perfect. No, 15 years ago, we sent the doctor's office, and the doctor told us that my wife had chronic myeloid leukemia. She still is checked every, again, 3 months to see if it's recurred or not. 5 years later, 2015, again, she was diagnosed with breast cancer, went through double mastectomy and chemo for almost a year with radiation, and again, it was a battle. It was a battle, but the good news is we look back and see God's hand. And we look back and see God's faithfulness. And we look back and know that God had us every step of the way. And still does, regardless of what happens in life. Because we don't know what's going to happen. But we know that God is faithful. And again, trust God with the details of the journey. You see, courage does not panic, it prays. Courage does not bemoan, it believes. Courage does not languish. It listens to the voice of God calling through Scripture, do not be afraid. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith, the Scripture says. In God I have put my trust, I will not fear. So faith says what God has promised, it will happen. Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. Now listen to me carefully. Faith is not logical and it's not illogical. It is theological. Faith is inviting God and adding God to the equation of every step and every moment of your life. And so in God we trust. In God we lean, in God we look, in God we believe. Again, he that overcometh, again, is because of the strengthening of our faith through the Word of God. The Word of God grows our faith. He is for us, He is with us, He is in us. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Just listen to Scripture. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand. And so what the Word of God reminds us is we want to cultivate a close relationship with God because, again, perfect love casteth out fear. Now, hear me carefully. It's not the size of our faith that matters. It's the size of our God. And there's nothing too big for Him. That's what the Word of God says. There's nothing too hard for Him. That's what the Word of God says. And so we're able to rely upon Him, trust Him. I mean, just go to Hebrews chapter 11 and see the roll call of faith. And as you read through chapter 11 and all the saints of God in the past who, again, pleased God by faith, they went through hardship. Life wasn't easy. I mean, the Word of God says that many were cut in two. Many were again, imprisoned. Many were fed to the lions. Many, again, had all kind of stuff happen. But what did they do? They fixed their eyes on Him. And as you read through chapter 11 and come to chapter 12 tells us how they did it. You fix your eyes on the Lord. You look unto Him, the author and finisher of your faith. You keep your eyes fixed, gaze set on Him, and you find that you're able to trust Him. The year was 1991. There was a war that went on in 1991. It was called the Gulf War. And just before they were getting ready to attack, General Charles Krulak was the leader, the general of the U.S. Marine Corps. He had been given word and responsibility to take 80,000 troops and set them up in Kuwait, to which he did. 14 days before they're going to launch battle, General Schwarzkopf sends word to General Kulov, we've got to move our troops 74 miles to the northwest to the gravel plains. Now, that word came as a shock to the general, because what they had to have to survive was 100,000 gallons of water a day. They couldn't do without that. And so they went to research where they had been given command to go and set up. They needed 100,000 gallons of water. And as they began to drill wells and began to look and began to talk to the Bedouins and all the government of that day, there was no water there at all. General Krulak prayed every day of his life, he said. And he prayed for water for those next 14 days. And the day before they're to move, on a Sunday morning, he's in worship. And one of his men comes in and says, hey, you need to come out. I need to show you something. And so he comes out of the service, gets into a Jeep. They're riding down a road that they built. Hello? You listening? They had built the road. They had been up down that road, soldiers himself, up and down that road many times. And as they rode out on that road, they come to a stop. And about 20 yards off to the side of the road was a long pipe, 15 foot, sticking up out of the ground. They had never seen it before. They had been up down that road. They had built that road. Did you hear me say that? Yeah. And so all of a sudden, as they get out of the Jeep, they walk over to that pipe. Again, there's two hoses coming out of the top of it. It's hooked to a diesel engine. They didn't use diesel. They used gas. But again, beside of that was a 500-gallon tank of diesel fuel. And then there was the pump. They had to have how much water? 100,000 gallons of water. They push again that engine. It cranks on, and water starts coming out. They measure it, and how much is it? 100,000 gallons a day. They call it today, you can look it up, you can study it, the miracle well. Amen. The miracle well. Listen, go through Scripture, there's all kind of miracles, amen? And they hadn't stopped, amen? God is able to do everything He's ever done in the past. He's still God, right? And there's nothing too hard for Him, and so we don't live by fear, we live by faith. Rick Warren, pastor of Saddleback, ever heard that name? Yeah. His youngest son, at the age of 27, committed suicide. For 4 months, he was outside of the pulpit. 112 days, he said, I just tried to live one day at a time just to get through that day. Said, it broke my heart. It was devastating. It was hard. He would enter the pulpit 113th day. And as he entered, he started a new sermon series. His sermon series was how to get through what you're going through. Wow. And he began with these words. Life doesn't make sense. But we can have peace because God is with us and loves us. 3 years later, he would write an article called Trust One Day at a Time. And he took his text and truths from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Thank God in all things. And think about the right things. What did God's Word say was a good filter for all of us? Do not be conformed to this world. We're not of this world. We're just passing through. I hope again your residency, your citizenship is above, and your mind and heart is set on things that are above, because that's how you stay in peace when life turns upside down. So the first truth is, we live by faith, not by fear. Second truth I want to write on your heart is, we're sacrificial, not selfish. Well, that's what God's people are supposed to be. Technically, that's what we're supposed to be. But now you know that when you're born in this world, you're selfish, right? A little baby is very selfish. It all depends about that little baby. Little children are all about selfishness. Again, they want this, and it's mine, and it's theirs. Hello? And even if your nature's been redeemed by the grace of God, there are times if you're not careful, you're still selfish. Yeah. Ask your mate. Ask my wife. Hello? There are times we're still selfish, but we're not to be. That's the old nature. The redeemed nature, again, is to be like our Savior, who again thought it not robbery, but again emptied himself and died on the cross and sacrificed himself so that we could have a Savior. Hallelujah. The most sacrificial love in the world was, again, the Lord Jesus Christ as an example to you and to me. And therefore, Paul writes to the church of Philippi, saying those same great truths, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of us look not only for his own interests, but for the what? Interest of others. Wow. That's a powerful word to the church. Because you see, as the church was birthed, that's how they lived. Go back to Acts chapter 2 and you see the birthing of the church. And as the church birthed, what did it say? It said they had all things in common. If anyone had a need, they just went to another one. And again, that one helped provide that need. If a church was in need, again, this church over here, Jerusalem, would again, another church would sacrifice. So again, Jerusalem church could be blessed. Again, they looked at that. Again, they were sacrificial. And even though they did that, they didn't have a Jerusalem mega mart to get all their food and all their stuff from, right? But God just reminded them, even a little boy's sack lunch was enough to feed thousands when it's offered to the Lord. And your life matters much when it's given to the Lord. And this is what I know. We have great opportunities for generosity. Great opportunities to share hope. Great opportunities to speak faith into this broken world. So we're sacrificial, we're not selfish. The third truth I want to write on your heart is we shine our lights, we don't hide our lights. We shine our lights. That's what Jesus said, we're what? The salt of the earth and the light of the world. And he just reminds us over in Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 14, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I think you would agree with me. Our world is anxious. Hello? Yeah. People are unsure, people are unsettled, and people are looking for hope somewhere. And who are we? We're hope dealers. We're light shiners. We're love givers. And this is what you'll discover, that love and grace is contagious. It is contagious. It is contagious. As the world grows darker, the light shines brighter. And as the body of Christ, we're not of this world. We're not like this world. We don't grieve as those with no hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And we declare that and shine that before the world. What did the angels say when Jesus was born? Do not be afraid. I bring you good news. A Savior is born. Jesus Himself said, I didn't come for the healthy, I came for the sick. I didn't come for the righteous, I came for the sinner. We do not live by bread alone. God does not lead us into temptation, but He delivers us from evil. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Followers walk by faith, not by sight. What did Jesus pray? Not my will, but thy will be done. The good news is we're saved by grace, not by works. And we're justified by faith and not by the works of law. Therefore, we don't set our minds on this present moment, this present earth. We set our hearts and minds on things that are above. We will not grow weary in doing good. We will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We will overcome evil with good. And the battle, please be reminded, it's not against flesh and blood. Hello? There's an enemy. There's darkness. But it's not flesh and blood. It's Satan who's out to divide and to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And he's very active, very active. But the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Now listen, not everyone who thinks they're saved are born into the family of God. Therefore, the Word of God says, do not be ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto those who believe. And therefore, we cannot stop talking about what we've seen and heard. I hope you've heard from the Lord. I hope you've seen the great things He's able to do and has done for you. We can't stop praising. We can't stop worshiping. We can't stop giving. We can't stop sharing. We can't stop shining the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we will not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer, we will bring our petitions to His throne and pray. And that's the hope of America. And that's the hope of the world. And that's the hope of the kingdom, is pray, 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 pray. I love 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of who? Not of us. Where's the power come from? Hello out there. Where? God. It's not of us. We're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. Hallelujah! God is sufficient, and we're overcomers in Christ. And because of who He is, and because of what He's done on the cross, and what He's done every day in our life, because of His power, His truth, His grace, His majesty, His presence that will never leave us, we shine and we love. And we sacrifice and we trust our living God. Whatever you're going through, I'm here to tell you, God's able. God is able to take care of you. Amen. Let's pray. Precious Father, thank you for just reminding us we're not of this world. And we're not like this world. We're not to live like this world. We're to live by faith. As children of God, without condemnation, empowered by you, filled with your Spirit, we're overcomers, Paul said, in Christ, of all things. And we say hallelujah to the Lamb that takes away our sins, that paid for them in full. And so we don't live in bondage. We live in freedom. Thank you for that freedom. And Lord, if there's anyone under the sound of my name, under my voice that is not your child, I pray today that your Holy Spirit prick their hearts and that the prayers of people who've been praying for them for years would come to reality today. And they would take that step of faith and begin the journey as your children, calling upon you to forgive their sin and be their Savior and be their Lord. Lord, as your children, we cry out to you today. Oh God, let us walk by faith. Let us be sacrificial. Let us shine our lights. And let us trust you in every moment of every day until you call us home. Find us faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. This time we ask that you stand with the heads bowed for our invitation. Again, they're going to lead us in that decision. I'll be here to pray. Again, if anyone wants prayer, again, anybody needing to make a decision for Christ in any way, we're here again to celebrate that with you.
Where you are today and what you need and the faith you need to get close to the Lord and be where He wants you to be. I want to ask our ushers to come forward at this time. Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you that we can trust you. You are trustworthy, and that we can put our faith in you. Lord, we all struggle with fear from time to time, and it's because of Satan, and we know that Satan's a liar. So, Lord, help us to put our faith in you and trust in you for every aspect of life. Lord, now as we take this offering, we pray that you would take this offering and use it, that others might come to know Jesus and know him as Lord. We ask it in his name. Amen. Well, just a few announcements, and we'll get you out of here. Mike's been gracious to us today. We're getting out early. It's usually about 12:15, brother. I didn't tell you that before the service. Well, thank you, brother, for being here. Thank you for that message. We are blessed to have been here on the 250th year of this nation. We really are. I hope you understand how blessed you are to live in this very historic time. And God has been good to this nation. Okay, we have a few birthdays that we need to acknowledge today. And let me get my bulletin out here. Nancy Moreau has a birthday tomorrow. And Bethany Wright Mabus has a birthday on the 7th, and Othenia Scarborough has one on the 11th. So if you see these folks, or just take time to give them a call if you have their contact information, and tell them happy birthday. Tell them you love them. You're praying for them. Today's schedule, there is no activity going on here at the church except for one thing. At 6 o'clock tonight, if you want to come to Bible study, I will be here to do it. I messed up announcing that the 1st of June that we would have Bible study on the 5th, and so we're going to have it tonight if you come. If not, I'll just be sitting here talking to myself. But we also had talked about the fact that we'd be starting the Gospel of John. We'll do that next week. We're going to be talking about our nation, how it relates historically to the nation of Israel and Judah. So if the Lord leads you, you come at 6 o'clock this evening, and we'll be having Bible study. Tuesday is the blood drive here at the church, 2:30 to 6:30. And then Wednesday is the ladies' breakfast at Cagney's at 9 o'clock. And then 10 o'clock Wednesday morning is breakfast at the Olympic with the men that we've been doing for years. You get plugged into what's going on, fellowship with people. Be involved in the ministry of the church. Let me lead you in a closing prayer and we'll go home. Our Father, we're so grateful for who you are, for your love for us, and the demonstration of that love in sending Jesus to die on the cross for us. But even better than that, Lord, we understand that you cared for us when we were sinners, not when we were good, not when we were perfect. But you cared for us when we were sinners, and you sent Jesus to rescue us. Thank you, Father, for that love and that provision for our needs. God, help us to be mindful of the lost world around us and share that good news as we go from this place today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.